Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast, Lead Singer Syndrome, episode 226, I think, unless I've lost count. It's possible there's a lot of episodes, but today we got a great show for you. A repeat guest. I think it was like the first 10, 12 episodes. Toby from Emory was on. It was a great one back then. It's a great one today. But this time, he brought somebody who I've wanted to have on the show for like years. Devin, also from Emory. We got the Emory Dream Team, the tag team, whatever you want to call it. They are from, I'm just going to put it out there, the hardest working band in music. They have so many things going on. It never stops. And in this podcast, we talk about all of them, including their new variety show, Are You Listening? A Sunday night streamo show. It happens on Twitch. And some big news right here. On this Sunday, I am going to be a featured guest. And I know we've all been on lockdown, quarantine, you know, and lots of really, really cool music stuff has happened. And a lot of it has been kind of just the same. You know, you sit around, you talk over Zoom or whatever, or, you know, they are doing it next level. I'm telling you, they have some really, really cool things going on. I'm like pre-recording a bunch of stuff for this. It's really, really rad. And I encourage you to tune in. I'm going to give you a link right now so you don't forget. Sunday night, 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. That's 4:30 Pacific. Twitch.tv/Emory Music. Are You Listening? A streamo show. Go check it out. I'm really excited to be a part of it. Really, really, really awesome stuff. And this podcast is great. So I'm so happy that you're here. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. Before we get to that, what's new with me, you ask? Well, I just did a whole bunch of awesome quarantine work on my yard. I smashed into pieces some concrete. I replaced it with some pavers, some nice little, you know, interlocking brick. And that's been my job for the last little while. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling strong. You know, get out the sledgehammer, do my thing. That's been really good. And other than that, just, you know, doing some music stuff. Got my studio set up here a little bit better. Maybe this sounds better. Maybe this sounds worse. But I got some new gear, and I'm really, really excited just for everything going on. Maybe getting a little too used to the quarantine life, but hey, what do you know, got to make the best of it. That's what I'm doing. Hey, before I forget too, another thing, if you want to get in touch with me, feel free. You can email me anytime. I read all my email, by the way. It's leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. And if you want to help out the show, check out the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. For as little as $6 a month, that gets you in. It gets you bonus content. You get to join an awesome community of other fans of the show. More interaction with them. More interaction with me. Merchandise and more. And it is what keeps this thing going. And oh my God, we have so many great guests coming up. Seriously, so many. I think this stretch, quarantine stretch of this podcast has been very, very good. A lot of people want to talk. So that benefits me. But hey, yeah, check out the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. Please, if you can, pitch in. The link is leadsingersyndrome.com/all-access. All right. Well, that's about it. Let's get to it. Here's my conversation with Toby and Devin of Emory.
Three sleepless nights. This isn't how it's supposed to be. But you're so good at taking your time to get back to me. I will wait for you forever.
How you been, Toby?
Good, not too bad, you know, just living through all this. Sorry for the delay. We were actually talking to our booking agent.
Oh, really?
It's all doom and gloom. It went a little longer than we thought, but you know, for everybody. I mean, it doesn't, not even just the music business, it's bad everywhere for everybody.
Oh man, I know. Well, let's get started. Devin will come
all
when
right
he comes. Oh, he's
you
there.
Guys hear me?
Oh, he is there. Yeah, oh, look at us.
What's up, Shane?
Hey, man. Been a long time.
No, how are you?
Damn, dude. I'm good. I mean, you know, all things considered, you know, it's yeah. It's a bit of a shit show out there.
A little bit.
Where are you guys at? This is my first question. I have so many questions. Like, looking at all the stuff you guys do, it gives me anxiety, and I'm not even a part of it. So I can't even imagine what you guys are going through. But where are you in the world right now, both of you guys?
I'm in Illinois, so I'm like middle of nowhere, Illinois,
yep.
2 hours out of Chicago, cornfield. So I'm a small town with my wife and three kids. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm in Charlotte. Devin, also, your audio sounds like you're in a toilet. I don't know.
Oh, does it?
While I'm answering.
I've heard worse, but, you know.
I don't know why. It's usually pretty good.
I think it's your mic. I don't know if it's the whatever through Zoom or something like that. Anyway, Shane, does mine sound okay to you?
You
normal
sound,
or
you guys sound fine. Yeah, you guys sound great. Okay. I mean, this is
all right,
better than usual. Let's you guys have those. Yeah. You guys have the secret microphones there. This is you guys are using the SM7B Shure microphones, which, like, if there's any singers listening to this, and I bet there are, that's the secret weapon. Like, every band uses that microphone. I have one right here, actually. I have one. Right here as well. But I use this RE20 mic or RE320 mic when I do these podcasts. I don't know. I think it sounds better for speaking. But there you go. Those are the secret weapon mics. But apparently Devin's got to get a better preamp or something. I don't know.
It's usually pretty good. I don't know what the problem is.
Maybe you're actually in a toilet.
No.
I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the COVID cases are on the rise daily, so it's just horrific down here in the South.
Yeah, I don't know what is really going on. It's really like, and I'm Canadian, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but it's kind of like the most American thing ever going on right now. Like, everyone's just making up their own mind and their own opinion about something that's kind of should be science-driven. I don't know. And everyone's just like, I don't know. Like, at this point, fuck it, and I'm just going to do what I want. And I'm going to just take whatever, you know what I mean? It's crazy. I can't even believe it.
What does the people act like in Canada right now? I mean, they're really cautious or what?
Yeah, but I feel like we're, it's more bipartisan up here in terms of, like, we're not worried about politics right now. You know what I mean? There isn't, like, a left against a right. It's all, like, kind of the left and the right against the common enemy, which is the coronavirus. So, you know, I feel like that's more what's going on up here, because we have actual guidelines from a government that are consistent. You know what I mean? Like, our federal government says this, and our Ontario, you know, where I live, our, you know, state government, we're all agreeing on, okay, this is what you do. So people actually know what to do.
Right.
Or what they should do, at least. So, you know, so I feel like that's a huge difference right now. And I'm, like, watching this stuff. I should give people the date for context. What is today? The 19th of May, because, you know, the shit changes so fast. But I'm, like, watching the news now. I have to, like, look away. I'm like, I can't believe, like I get it in certain areas. Sure, open it up, like, or open certain things up, you know. But some places, it's like, no, this is not a good idea.
I mean, we are really, I mean, okay, so we do have probably about 300 more million people than y'all in Canada.
Oh, that, I know. That's very important, yes.
The 300 million added makes way more chance for wild activity and wild thoughts and all this stuff.
Yeah, that's
true. I think
the
problem we're seeing is our economy is really, really, really bad shape. And if I was going to actually place a wager, this would be a sadistic wager, if the economy getting worse or doesn't keep going, way more people would die than probably what's going to happen with Corona. So, but I am scared today. I avoid people. I social distance. My wife and I, we only basically go out for groceries. We've been for like two rides in the car, but this is really funny. We went for a ride in the car and one of the kids had to go to the bathroom, and the only place we could find open was a McDonald's, and we went in. It felt like you never walked into a McDonald's and go, oh man, it's so nice and clean in here. But this time it just felt like there was definitely disease and sickness. And my wife and I, we use so much hand sanitizer and all this stuff. So, I mean, I'm very pro taking this slow, but I at the same time, I mean, how do you tell people not to do stuff? I don't. Y'all are doing a way better job. Like, we had JT on our Are You Listening show on Sunday night, and he was talking to somebody, one of the punk bands from Canada, and y'all got like more stipend money, and I believe you're right. You guys are really way more clear on the directives of what's going to happen.
Yeah, we're getting, just for Americans to really like, they are going to wake up after I say this. So Canadians, if you're if you don't qualify for employment insurance, you know, or whatever, if you're just, let's say you don't have a job, whatever, most people qualify for $2,000 a month for 4 months.
Wow.
Man, that's crazy.
That's awesome.
Well, what did you guys get? Like, people got like $1,200 and that's just one time payment.
Right.
Yeah, one time, $1,200.
I know.
And you
got
$2,000 per person, right?
That's like, that's per
family,
person,
household, or whatever.
No, I think it's per person, and also if you have children, you get extra money and stuff. There's all extra stuff, you know, considering. So when I heard about the $1,200 and people are like going out and blowing it on, I don't know. I'm like, man, this is nuts. But hey, I mean, again, you guys have a lot more people than us. So, you know,
the mentality goes from one extreme to the other, just based on what town you're in. I mean, it's like here in central Chicago's probably a little different because it's a little bit more, liberal in a sense of down here is all straight Republican conservative. And it's kind of funny because I played in a golf scramble, which I know sounds funny, but they still hosted it. And the guy was like, we already paid. So I guess, and I asked my wife, cause she's a nurse practitioner. I was like, are you okay with that? Do you think that's okay? And she was like, yeah, just please be careful. Don't just try not to be, you know, doing anything careless. And I was like, okay. But I got there and everybody there is hugging, high-fiving.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, because they see each other at this golf course. And I'm like, I'm just like elbowing people from like 4 feet away.
No, like,
and golf? They're just making fun of me. I'm like, what?
Yeah, golf seems like the one sport that I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, do that. Like, it's, you know.
Sure.
Everyone's so far away. You have to be. You're swinging a fucking club. Like, you can't get too close, right? But then to blatantly, like, you know, break the rules like that, it, you know. Like, I'd say don't go play basketball, throwing a ball back and forth to each other and sweating all over it and stuff. That sounds bad, but golf, okay. But I guess not. So people can't, you know, you give people an inch and they take a mile.
Oh,
that's,
man.
That's just the classic, man. But anyway, the reason I ask you guys where you are at in the world, you have so many things going on. I've numbered them here from 1 to 7, just so I'm organized, because it's really crazy. And the first one I want to start with is the new album, obviously, White Line Fever. Is it about cocaine?
No.
Not about cocaine. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't about cocaine.
White Line Fever is what they use is like when you've been driving and it's real late at night and you get the White Line Fever, like you're getting attracted to that white line and
tired,
falling asleep and get into a wreck. You know what I mean? The white line.
I actually never have heard that term, but I know about it. You know, those late night drives back in the day.
All right.
Anyway, the new album comes out June 5th. You guys are putting it out yourselves, obviously. That's what you do now, everything yourself.
Yep.
The pre-orders are up now on your website. You've released a couple songs. Now, obviously, this album, I'm sure, was made before all this world got crazy. But what is it like even just making a record when you're allowed to travel, when you're allowed to get together in groups, but you guys live in all different parts of the country? I mean, Matt is still in Seattle, I think.
Yeah.
And I mean, you guys just told me where you guys are at, and I don't know about the rest of y'all. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same. I mean, three of the guys are in Seattle, which is helpful because Matt does all the production.
Right.
And so, Dave, who our drummer is out there as well, him and Josh. And so as far as the basic production goes, they're able to track drums, in a office studio they have. And, so that's really nice to have. So we don't have to fly in Dave all the time to record and all that. So they can kind of work consistently throughout the year. But Toby and I, it's the same as we've been working for the past, I don't know, 14 or 15 years, I guess. It's like, you send ideas online, you just work through it together as best you can. And then when you do get together, you kind of form those ideas and kind of work it all out that way, you know?
No, totally, totally. And obviously everybody should go pre-order the new record now. The new tracks are great, by the way.
Thank you.
And one of them is called, I thought it was interesting, one of them is called Make Yourself Sick. 69. Oh.
Oh,
that was an interruption of great proportions. Is that hip hop?
I was recording my vocal. I didn't know if you need. I was like, oh, you know what? I'm not recording on my end. I don't know if you need my record. But I accidentally hit the wrong button.
So. That's no problem. All
right. Hey, you didn't number eight rap.
There might be a Toby Morrell rap record coming. Nothing would surprise me, honestly. Right. But the new. So let me get to this. Yeah, the new new song "Make Yourself Sick," which I immediately thought of Boys Night Out.
Right.
You know, they have a great their debut record's a great record called "Make Yourself Sick," and then I saw that on your new "Are You Listening?" a Sunday night Streamo show, you had Connor and Jeff from Boys Night Out on there, and I wonder if there's some kind of story, like you guys wrote the song and then someone said, hey, wasn't that a Boys Night Out album? And then you guys were like, Boys Night Out, we need to get them on the show. Was there some kind of conversation like that?
No, not at all. The new album, White Line Fever, it's about how we actually became a band. It's, you know, it's a little bit of a story of us in South Carolina and not, you know, nobody cared about our band or whatever, moving to Seattle and all this stuff. And so that song is actually about how I got very sick on the way to record our first album. And it kind of goes from just actually the physical sickness to sometimes you just screw yourself over a little bit because you're worried, you're immature. That way you got something in your back pocket in case the album sucked, I could go, yeah, but remember I was really sick. You know, if my vocals are bad, yeah, but you know, I mean, I was throwing up the night before. You know, you kind of have that like a little bit of something to get you off the hook.
Yeah, an excuse, exactly.
That song, that's kind of what that song is about. And then we were just talking about who could we get for AYL. We're like, man, you know what? It's so funny. We were thinking about that title and them, and then we just ended up talking to Connor and working on one of their songs, Punch Yourself. And it just ended up working out, and a little bit of a coincidence, but it was so fun having them on the show for sure.
Yeah, no, I watched a little bit of it, and I watched a little bit of the one you had with JT of Hawthorne Heights. Obviously, these are two people I know very well. You know, what really impresses me right away about the Are You Listening? A Sunday Night Streamo show is just the amount of care that you guys are putting into this. You know, and I don't want to, you know, talk shit on other people doing things, whether it's a stream or whether it's, you know, some kind of YouTube channel. But a lot of times people think it's like set up a camera, set up a mic and good enough. And you guys really are taking it to the next level. Even just the production value alone, but the amount of time you guys must put in. I mean, you know, the song you're doing, you guys performing a song with Connor on there, the Hawthorne Heights rendition of Ohio's for Lovers. I'm not sure which song it was. Nikki FM, doing that, and there's a lot that goes into that. Not to mention all the other stuff you're doing with, you know, I have it on the list here of the seven things. But how are you guys able to do that? And how are you guys able to do that just with all this, you know, lack of ability to travel and get together? I mean, you guys have to record all this stuff separately. Like, that sounds like an enormous amount of work.
I feel like we've been planning for a pandemic for a decade. Like, our band is just, we all moved away from each other. Our band is social distanced for like a decade. And we've done so much online. I mean, we really have recorded. I can remember one of our albums working with Aaron Sprinkle. And
what a producer. Oh, my God.
He's going to be on Are You Listening as well.
Awesome.
And he was in Nashville, and I was in Charleston, South Carolina. And You Were Never Alone is the name of the album. But we set it up to where he was talking in my ear just like I was in a booth. Like, the tech has gotten so good that I was in my closet, like a vocal booth, recording. He's like, yeah, okay, do that again. This time, do this. And I was like, this is so amazing. And that was a few years.
I can't even believe that's possible.
Yeah, it is. It's totally possible. And you're going to see more and more of that now. Instead of going to the studio, you'll have the guy in your ear at your house, and you can make it all work, and it'll be more efficient and less, you know, you'll save money and time and all that stuff. And so we've been doing that for a while. So for us, it kind of comes natural. And like with Are You Listening, it's really fun. And we do, like, we know our fans are trapped at home. We know they can't go see shows. If we can have, I mean, we're talking to you. I think you might be coming on. Are you listening too? We might do a collab with you as well. I know you did one.
A little birdie might have whispered in my ear. Yes.
You worked with August Burns Red too. You did a song.
Yeah. But you know, when you're doing this, like all this live stream stuff, and so many artists are doing it, you know, where they're recording it from their own home. You know, and then it's like it's all live. Like somebody's like, okay, everyone hit record at the same time and we're going to broadcast it. It doesn't really work like that. You know, everyone's recording it separately on their own time. Right. And then they're like, it's all edited and put together. And, you know, it's as far as I know, it isn't possible to do like a song live, like in real time, you know, because of the latency just with that. But we're making a really, we're really, really trying to tell the public that it's possible that we're doing it. You know, it's funny to me because it's not. And the August Burns Red thing I did myself, and we have a Silverstein thing we're working on along those lines too. And it's like, obviously it's not real. Right. So, I don't know. I just think it's interesting that the thing you told me about Aaron Sprinkle just now is possible, first of all. Yeah. I mean, I guess there can be a little bit of latency when you're just speaking, the same way we're doing this live. But when you're talking about music and performing in time, it's I don't think we're not there yet.
Yeah, the only way you could do it is if, say, like a guitar player he just played without headphones and then you sang from your end to him.
Right.
Like if he's hearing you, y'all would, as soon as you heard, you know, whatever, he would get off or you would get off or something like that. They're going to improve the technology and the latency. As soon as the latency gets down, and they're even coming up with faster and faster latency mics and stuff like that. So it's going to get better and better. But I mean, even to go back to what we were saying before, though, you're right. Like you have to kind of create, I think the thing is, like, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do AYL, because we're there live and then, you know, we'll show you the collab we did earlier, or, you know, or Devin and I will play a song live by ourselves. That's the suckiest part is Devin and I it's way better for our band if him and I get to sing together.
Yeah.
And so we're having to sing apart from each other. So it would be nice if we all lived in the same town, because we could probably get together and do stuff, but we don't. But I mean, because Matt and Josh and Dave live in Seattle, we live in, you know, on the other side of the country. So that part's been really, really difficult. But overall, technology has gotten so good. I can't imagine this happen. Like, if the pandemic would have happened in even just the 90s, maybe early 2000s, like when we all started, we were just nothing, right?
I know. It's true. I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. I mean, how much more important touring was then to get people, you get your music out there, or get your, you know, you felt like if you weren't on tour, people were going to forget about you, you know? And now, I mean, how much are you guys really, I know you guys, you just said to me at the beginning of the call, I don't think I'm going to leave it in, but you were talking to your booking agent and it's all doom and gloom. When are we going to get back on the road? No one knows. But for you guys, with everything you have going on, you know, you can kind of shrug your shoulders and move on. It's not like, it isn't like going to make or break your career at this point.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what we were talking about earlier, is like, I think for the past 5-6 years,
he's got a vocal doubler on there. What is that?
It's like, now you're like echo double.
Okay, is that better?
No.
Not better now?
Turn off the Boss chorus pedal. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to open Pro Tools as well. Sorry. I apologize, Shane.
That's okay. No, it's probably what's happening is they're hearing you twice.
Close it out. Zoom is freaking me out. We usually use Skype on our stuff, so I don't know what the problem is. Sorry, I apologize.
Oh, no worries. No worries. I'm just trying to be cool using Zoom because it's like the cool new thing. But you were saying, Devin, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. So now that I sound normal again, I hope. We've been working the past like 5-6 years on touring less and less and less.
Yeah.
That's like Emery's goal, is like tour as little as possible and be as efficient as possible. Still make money, still do that, but there's a lot of other stuff going on. And so this whole Are You Listening thing is kind of just another piece to that puzzle. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, this is something we can do, especially now that the pandemic is going on. Let's try to make it as good as possible and hopefully even continue it after. You know what I mean? Hopefully it can become something even more than that, where, you know, when we tour next year, whatever, maybe in between and throughout, we can keep doing a show like this and just make it, you know, make it fun and make it professional.
I mean, you guys should. It's really, really terrific.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now, yeah. With you, Devin, and you know, your role in the band has changed so much over the years. You know, you were out for a while, then you were back kind of like as a guest, you know, and now it seems like you're fully back in the band, fully a part of this thing again. What's the journey been like for you? I mean, obviously, it's something that doesn't get talked about, how life in your 30s, and I guess now, I mean, you're probably almost 40, maybe you are 40, it doesn't get easier, and it gets kind of harder to know where to go. And obviously there's pressure, you know, with marriage and children and all that stuff comes into play. How was the decision for you when to know to get back in fully? And are you, follow-up question, I guess, is are you doing anything else? Like, are you working another job at home, or are you just 100%, you know, all things Emery?
So basically, coming back into the band, it was a point. So I left the band basically because we were starting to have kids and all that. And I was like, you know, I just feel like this is probably the right thing to do. And right. So after the guys had been touring a little bit, you know, for the past few years without me, they asked me to do a couple reunion tours, which I was able to do and work out. And then we did this one show that was like a block party. It was like an outdoor garage. This guy paid for like a private show. You guys have probably done something like that before. It's like,
okay, yep.
It can be an interesting atmosphere. Not always great, but this happened to be a really, really cool and fun show. And so I was able to do it because it was close by. And after that show, I was like, man, it'd be so fun to just tour acoustic, really, you know, just three or four, just the guitars, easy, just whatever. And so basically the other guys agreed, you know what, maybe let's just do that all next year. And so we decided, I think it was all of 2016, we only did acoustic shows. And so, and we only did like four or five shows at a time. And so I was able to do that without being gone from my family and my job at the time too much. And so that worked out. And I just slowly kind of reintegrated myself back into the band, whether they liked it or not. And just, got, you know, obviously I was a founding member with Toby and Matt. And so it never felt awkward, you know, really. It just felt like, oh, Devin's been gone for a while. So, all right, here we go again. So I think that's kind of the vibe that it had. So it was pretty easy getting back in and becoming a part of everything.
So are you fully in Emery now with no other job? Yeah. Like, you're doing all this other stuff. I mean, you guys had that podcast you were doing together, and you've got a solo album that just came out, pretty recently, a couple of years ago. I think your second solo album, if I'm not mistaken. So are you just fully immersed now in music?
Yeah, I'm totally immersed. I mean, I still, obviously that some of that stuff was kind of like filler, you know, just
you're
doing hobby stuff. You're trying to stay busy and somewhat relevant, I guess you could say. And so now over the past few years, it's been, we're just like a DIY team, you know, so everybody kind of does a part as a cog in the wheel, I guess. So I'm like the inventory management, shipping, all that stuff for Emery, Bad Christian, all that stuff. So I handle all that. And so that's kind of my day job, I guess you could say, other than being a stay-at-home dad. So it's a little bit of the combo.
Right.
Ship some stuff when the kids are napping, you know.
So you have to donate the space in your basement to the stock room for Emery, all things Emery, right? That was when Silverstein was getting started. That was my parents' basement.
Oh,
and
yeah.
My parents actually shipped out all the stuff when we were on tour.
Oh, that's awesome.
So yeah, they did a great job. But like, this was like 2004, 2005. Like, you know, this was like, we were big. So like, they were going to the post office, like, you know, every day, pretty much shipping stuff. It was like a full-time job for them. But, you know, I think that kept us afloat. We didn't have to pay some merch company, you know, so much money to do all that. So it was a big help. Thanks, Mom and Dad. So next on my list, we got Emeryland, which is your, I guess, your fan club, for lack of a better term. Again, it seems to me like there's so much pressure you guys are putting on yourselves to, you know, basically you're forcing yourself to release a record every year. You're putting out, is it an EP every 3 months? You know, for all your fans, and these are your, these are the people that have been with you forever. These are not the people you want to let down. Talk to me about this, how this came to be, and are you enjoying it? Is it too much sometimes?
I mean, honestly, I think Devin feels the same way. No, not at all. It's actually been helpful. Cause you know how, okay. You know, I know you guys have always done labels. We've done labels and Kickstarters.
Yeah.
And when we were just, you know, when we do these Kickstarters or we do a label, you know, get label money, you get it up front and then you work for a long time here and there to do your record or whatever. And it still takes about, you know, a year or so at least to get the record done, if not longer, and out and everything. And we were like, man, we, I mean, we are recording most of the stuff ourselves. We, you know, we're figuring out tech sometimes on the fly, but we're doing it ourselves. And then, you know, we'll have, like Bo from Sayason help mix, or, you know, we get some people to help us mix or master or do some stuff. But we have kind of become so DIY that it just works for us. And that schedule actually helps some. Like it, it's not like I can go in, sit down and just go, okay, I'm no matter what going to be creative and it's going to be a hit song for an Emery Lander. But the thing that ends up working though, is I feel like, oh, wait a minute. I know that within this certain months, I have to have this many songs written. And so it's on my mind and I go, okay, this is when I can do it here, here. If it didn't work today, I'll try again tomorrow. Right. And for me, it's just more efficient. Like I, like this record is really fun. Like it really turned out great. And it was written over the course of a year. The Emery Landers got to hear it before everybody else. And then we get to throw in some extra stuff too, because we'll do like a little Christmas EP, or Devin and I started this kind of project called Palmetto, that's more like alt country. And they get, so you get a lot of extras if you're in Emery Land. And those people were going to do a Kickstarter anyway. Most, you know, we did the averages, the data showed most Emery fans for a Kickstarter would spend, you know, between $50 and $100. So they're getting even more for maybe even less money than they're paying. Like the, right. the entry point's $3, Devin. Is that right? Or something like that?
Yeah, it is $3. I saw that.
Yeah. And so for us, we feel like we're giving tons of value to our fans and it's really fun. And they're getting more than they ever got from him. We, you know, our Discord group, our Facebook group, a lot of interactions, you know, certain merch that they, you know, get discounts on or offers. So for us, it's been like, man, we get to really honor our fans who are longtime fans, and it keeps us on a little bit more like a routine of, hey, this is what we're doing right now. So overall, I think it's turned out really great, better than I thought it would, actually.
Awesome. No, I love the promo video that you guys released too. It's you know, I mean, it's, you guys have really done a great job, I think, of being very present for your fans. You know, you're not mysterious at all. And I know, you know, knowing you guys as people, you're not really mysterious rock star personalities. So I feel like the whole way that social media has shifted, you know, now like you can find out what anyone had for breakfast pretty much, you know what people were working on. There's really no mystery at all about anyone's lives. And this really does seem to play in really well just into who you guys are as people. So, I mean, congratulations on you know, figuring that out.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just, we've done it for so long and we've been a band for so long. And like we said, we decided, because, I mean, we have so many, I mean, how many kids does Silverstein have?
We have zero.
Zero kids. So see, that changes everything. We have, Devin, how many do we have? Devin has
14.
We have how many?
14, I think.
14. No way, 14. Yeah,
14
oh my
kids.
Goodness.
And so we were like, we can't be gone. We, you know, there's different things and all this stuff. And so that alone changed our touring mentality. But to be able to move stuff online, or to be able to be supported by your fans and do, I mean, Emery Land's about a year old now and it's been working great. And there's new signups. I mean, it's really beneficial to our band and hopefully to the fans as well. So for us, it has been just, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, we're working, our new album's coming out and we're working on the next EP right now.
it's great, but it does get harder. I think, you know, with all the responsibilities, all the kids, I mean, I guess because you don't have the touring side of things that takes you away for so long, I guess you're able to have a routine at home when it's like, okay, from this time, Monday to Friday, I'm working on things. So yeah. I guess that does help. But I kudos to you guys, man. I look at it and I just go, I don't think I could do it. It's just too much, man. The band and the podcast alone is a lot for me. So, another thing I want to bring up, this is number four on my list, is just you guys being such a DIY band. Obviously, I know you guys came from punk rock, the punk rock scene and booming in South Carolina. But, you know, you guys now, even, you know, I talked about the acoustic tours. You guys are booking entire tours yourselves. And I don't just mean like you have a, like you talk about booking agent, but you guys actually even just rented out venues and did your own ticketing and marketing and everything for a while. Yeah. That is such an undertaking as well. I don't know if you're still doing that, if that was an experiment, but talk to me just about that, because you must have learned a lot about really where that $20 for a ticket goes, because it doesn't always go right to the artist, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we spent years on and off. It kind of, we would go through, there's one guy that we worked with who was kind of a middleman, not an agent. He would kind of get you venues, it'd be all door deals and that kind of stuff. And so that kind of gave us a little entry point so that we didn't have to do all of the legwork.
Yeah.
But then after that, we started doing more shorter tours. So let's say we do a week at a time. It became easier for myself and Toby and Reva, who works with us as well, to contact venue owners or local promoters in that town and say, hey, you know, we're coming through, we're going to do this. What's the best you can do for us? And most of the time we would do door deals, which agents don't really like. Everybody wants a guarantee, and that's just kind of what the whole market goes. But for us, it was like, well, you know, we're pretty sure we can sell this many tickets in this city. So we're pretty confident in the fact that we can make this much of a guarantee when we get there. So we had done it for so long, like you guys, that we kind of know the way it works, kind of know what to expect in different markets, and you just kind of roll with it. Sometimes you're disappointed. Sometimes it surpasses your expectations. And so we still do that on and off, especially with house shows or just shorter tours now. But we have a guy who kind of helps us with some of the bigger stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The big stuff we get help with. And then it was funny, like right before the pandemic, Devin and I booked four shows in Texas for ourselves, an acoustic show. We call it Songs and Stories. And it's so crazy. That was the last time we played a show. And I was like, well, when will we play a show again? But even then it was like, should we do this? But it's probably fine. When was that, Devin? That was
early March. It was right before the lockdown.
Early March, literally like the next week, it was lockdown. That was it.
Yeah.
But we were no Corona or anything, but we booked that ourselves.
Yeah. We were in Charlotte, North Carolina. It was March 12th and we had a day off, and it was, we were literally like by the minute, like, are we going to Atlanta to play at Masquerade for our next show? Or are we going north to Canada? You know, it was like, it was like so back and forth. We didn't know what to do. And then, that was it. That was the last show we played, March 11th, right in the middle of the tour, you know, had to cancel the whole rest, postpone the whole rest of it. So it's wild. I mean, you guys do so much stuff for your fans, you know, you guys are all these different like subscriptions, whether it's the Bad Christian or Emeryland or whatever else. And I don't know how many of your fans are like, this is great. I love this. I love this. It's my favorite band. I'm supporting it. How many of them are like, okay, well here, take another $3. Is that a thought in your mind? And is there also like the whole thought of, well, we still have to put out music traditionally like a regular band does and do stuff for the masses. We can't just sell stuff to the same group of people over and over and over again. Like, do you think about that and how you're going to grow your band and kind of, you know, keep pushing forward like we used to do traditionally, you know, back in the day?
I think we definitely are. I think with Emeryland, it was like, what are we doing? Are we going to do another Kickstarter and we're just going to get everybody's money and then they won't hear anything for a year or two? How long does it take? I mean, our last Kickstarter was like, we got, I think we raised $130,000 or something like that. And then the people are all excited about it. And then we just work on the record and some updates here and there, but we're like, man, we just want to do more. So we are always about pivoting. You know, if we have kids, we'll pivot. How can we still tour it and make it worth it? If there's a pandemic, how do you pivot and make it worth it? We didn't know the pandemic was coming when we started Emeryland, but Emeryland was more of a, wait a minute, we know our fans would love it if they got more inside look at what we do when we make a record. We can do a Kickstarter and then we just collect the money, but this way they're in it with us in a way. Like, we'll show them demos of the new songs. Hey, look, this we don't even have lyrics on right. this yet. They're here. You're hearing the album.
That's pretty literally. Cool.
Yeah, raw and my bad vocals over it, not tuned, you know, whatever it might be. And so we just figured that's a good way to pivot and show your fans, man, because, I mean, I know you guys feel the same way. We're in this together. Like, we're not anything without our fans. Yeah. Emory doesn't exist, Silverstein, no band exists without their fans. So it's really important to us to do that. That's why, like, our new record, we just thought, hey, let's tell the story about how we got here, because a lot of it is, man, we're just like you. We didn't know what we were doing. We start this band and you think, man, hopefully some, you know, 200 people will come one day. You know, you say that, you know, and then all of a sudden you're, you know, 10 years down the road, 15, 20 years down the road, you're like, oh, whoa, this is crazy. We're still here. And what does this look like? And so for us, it's more of a, I mean, right now is a prime example. When, you know, like I said before, we were talking to our booking agent, when will shows come back? I know lots of festivals are definitely not coming back this year, and maybe they'll come back next year.
Yeah.
But are we certain everybody's going to be comfortable to go to them? What is it? Little, I mean, 6 months from now, there could be a vaccine and hope and everything, or there could be bad stuff going on too. And there is no real clear data or path right now. Right. So for us, it's just continue to do the thing that we can do. Like, you know, our show, Are You Listening? You know, we take tips or whatever, but we're not doing a show where, hey, pay $5 and cut, and then you get to watch it. No, if you like what we're doing and you want to tip us, great. We'd take as many tips as you can give us. But if you just want to sit and watch for a second and leave, okay.
Sure. Yeah, of course. Absolutely. The number five on my list is this movie that you guys have coming out. And I'm not sure if all of you are involved or just, I know you, I'm sure you are, Toby, the What Would Jesus Sell movie,
yep.
which has a very successful Kickstarter. It sounds like another massive undertaking to work that out. I don't know who is kind of the point person on that, but talk to me a little bit about that. And if people can still support that, I think they still can, right?
They might can still support it, but I think so. We got supported. It takes forever to make a documentary. It's crazy how long it, you know, you think, oh man, we got footage and we're going to put stuff together. And you're like, wait a minute, the story's evolving as you get the footage. I mean, the story's even kind of changed a little bit, and it's a great story. So Matt is our point person. He's kind of overseeing all of it. And then one of the guys, I guess, James, Whiteman is our director. And Matt, I guess, is in some ways co-directing, co-producing, editing and all that stuff. So it's in the editing phase right now, but the story is going to be really neat. It's just about the Christian market is a real market that made money and became a business. And then you're mixing that with your faith in a God. And what does that look like? And what are you selling? And are you selling God or the idea of God or the show? Or are you a real band? Like, you know, our band, for example, struggled with the idea of we're Christians, but what does that mean for rock music? I don't want only Christians to come, or I don't want to play a church with, you know, a youth group that doesn't care about our music, but we're safe Christians, you know? So it really kind of explores all those ideas. And and once again, the pandemic slows everything down with editing and all of that stuff. There's a really good story there about what does it look like to try to come out the other side, because you're in the Christian music scene, just like any music scene, you're in a music scene or a genre, and then times change, or, you know, like when in the 90s or whatever, there was alternative music. And now you go back to that. What was that? And what did those people do? And some succeeded and some went away. And it's kind of that same story. So it follows a little bit of a narrative of what does it look like to kind of get beat up some and in the Christian music scene, and then what it looks like possibly to come out on the other side.
Yeah. And you guys have definitely done that. It's an amazing run you guys have had and continue to have, and just being so creative, both with, you know, obviously your music and being a great band, but also just the business side. You guys have done an incredible job of it. So it's just really, really great to see. And I'm so happy that you guys have a new record that's coming out on June 5th. Talk to me about the song, The Road Beneath My Feet. It's pretty punk rock.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you know, shit, the 90s are back right here. This is good. I like it.
You know what's funny about that? There's been several times throughout our career as a band that making records that we've said, what style of music have we not tried yet?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, legitimately. So we'll be like, okay, so maybe we can have a little hint of metal on this song, or a hint of jazz here or whatever. And then on this record, Matt and Dave, I think they kind of wrote some of the music for this song before we had any vocal ideas. And so they were like, hey, we've never done a punk song. let's do a punk. So they just came up with the punk beat and just kind of,
yeah.
And this was fun. Me and Toby were on an acoustic house show tour at the time. And we had the idea and we kind of wrote the melody together in the car. And then Toby wrote the lyrics for it. And it just kind of came out. We thought it was a pretty fun song. We'd never really done that style before.
No, it's cool. It's cool that all these years later, you know, you can find a new thing to try. Cause that gets, you know, people ask me too. It's like, you know, I think you guys have put out less records than Silverstein, but you still put out a lot and you're going to probably surpass us with the Emeryland thing. But you know, it doesn't get easier to write songs and write records. I mean, you know, there's only so many ideas. Like I caught myself Googling like phrases and lyrics to see if I'd said it before, you know, like, like whatever the lyric in Silverstein, I'm like, have I ever used that phrase or have I ever used that wording before? Cause it's true. Like, you know, you fall into your own, I don't want to say bad habits, but just, you know, you are who you are and you like what you like, and you're going to inevitably go back to that sometimes.
Sweet. Yeah. It was funny too, on this record, a couple of times, like Devin, one of the songs, is 238, and we love that band, and Devin referenced them. And then in another song, I referenced some of our song titles. So that was kind of neat. This time we were talking about our story, and I was able to go back and use stuff that we'd already written, you know, like As Your Voice Fades, or I referenced Walls or whatever in a way. And I was like, oh, this is kind of nice because I wrote this a long time ago, but I'm refurbishing it in a way and using it in this song.
Yeah. It's kinda true.
Nice about telling the story of us.
Yeah, it's funny. I've done that a little bit too with stuff. And fans really like it. Like when fan hears the reference, the self reference to something you've done before, they really like it. I'll be honest, I feel like it feels a little bit cheap. you know what I mean? Because like, you know, I mean, you're obviously, it's a creative idea and you're referencing yourself and you're still like, you know, you're putting a twist on it. You're not just saying it again, but I always feel like, okay, this is, I could just do this over and over again. It's easier, you know, a little bit easier than,
You got to do it the right way. You got to do it the right way. I mean, I was telling the story of our band. So that, but you're right. Like, I don't know. Well, I don't know. Maybe it just depends. And if fans like it and I like it, that I'm okay with it. Yeah, you're right.
Sure.
It does make it easier for sure.
All right. Are we getting any more of the Song Rescue Podcast? Was that a one and done thing, or is that going to happen again?
I don't think we will, but
I don't know if we will. We might start incorporating that on the Are You Listening show, though. Right. We might start doing that with some bands, because for those that never listen to the podcast, Devin and I would basically take a song that somebody would send in to us and just rip it apart a little bit, you know, bash on it, smash it up a little bit, make fun of it, and then try to give some good critique and point out some of the good parts of their songs or lyrics or whatever it might be. So it was really fun to do. But like you said earlier, I mean, like the list, it was just another thing. And we didn't want to do it half-ass. And so we're like, let's just pause on this for a little while. We didn't say we're done with it for good, but it, with all the stuff that we're doing right now, it kind of seems like we wouldn't be able to do the best. But maybe we might start doing that as parts of the Are You Listening?
I think that would be an awesome idea. That's awesome. Cool. Well, I think have I got through all seven? I think I got through all seven. I have a fan question, which is from Zach Weissenberger. This is for Toby and Devin, obviously. Who's better at bass and who's a better singer? I think we know the answer to the second one. No offense, Toby.
It's both. It's probably both.
Oh, poor Toby.
Way worse bass player for sure. Devin is overall the best musician in Emory. I mean, he has a music mind that is, I mean, Matt in some ways is more analytical about certain stuff, but Devin has the analytical side and the emotional side, and they can pull it off vocally or, you know, guitar wise. Right. He can do his record, I mean, like, you know, his two solo records are great. So, I mean, I don't have any shame in my game saying that Devin's better at both of those things.
Well, the thing is,
I'm pretty good at certain stuff too.
Oh, yeah. Let me defend Toby a little bit here. So, I play bass a lot more. I've been playing bass on 75% of the songs for the past, you know, however many years. And so, he plays sometimes. And so, he feels what he does is really well. And also, sometimes I kind of envy his voice because he has character. He has a little bit more of the raspiness that I can't really get.
Right.
I mean, like, mine's all clean and pure, which some people prefer, but a lot of times I'm like, man, I got it really pushed and it almost blows my voice out.
Right.
Problem with that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's positive on both sides.
Yeah, but no singer goes, you know what? I want to sound like a 57-year-old lunch lady that smokes. They want the clean, pretty Devin voice. So
you heard it here first. I always feel like Devin is, you know, when you're a kid and you play sports, like you play baseball, and there's the one kid that's like the best at pitching, the best at catching, the best at hitting, the best at running. That's Devin. He's just the best at everything, and that's just the way it is.
That's nice of you guys.
His nickname really is the Golden Child. We gave it to him. I mean, he's great at sports. He's super good. He was always the best looking in Emory. He's really nice. He won't even let me give him a call. He has to still come. I can't even.
I just accepted it. They're not nobody like me. I'd be an ass. You know what I mean? So I got to,
Well, look. And you got him back in the band. Yeah, thank God. Okay. Well, hey, guys, thanks so much for doing this, taking the time out of your very busy schedule, and congrats on the new record. To tell the people once again, June 5th, White Line Fever, not about cocaine, is out. Everyone check it out. Anything else to tell the people before I let you go?
Yeah, the pre-order's up right now at emorymusic.com for immediate download, and you get access to Emoryland for a month.
And if any of your listeners, Shane, if they're Emory fans or they want to pre-order, if they use the code LSS at checkout, they get 10% off.
Yep.
Cool. That's great. Thank you for using my show as a promo code without even asking me.
Yeah, man.
I love it. That's great. You guys are the best. Thank you so much. I'm going to play a tune for the people. What do you think? Road Beneath My Feet or Make Yourself Sick? Which one should I bust out?
I do Road Beneath My Feet. Show them that punk stuff.
There it is. Yeah. We're getting fast up in here. Start a circle pit in your living room, everybody, or in your car. Guys, thanks so much again for this, and hope to see you around soon. I hope everything is good. Staying safe and social distancing, and no more golf, okay, Devin?
No. I won't do it anymore after my experience. So thanks, Shane. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
So there it is with Toby and the Golden Boy. those guys crack me up, man. That was great. And I did leave in some of the little mishaps. Rap music started to play. Devin's voice was doubled all of a sudden. You know, hey, you leave those things in. There are actually a few more. The Zoom call ended. Toby turned into a robot at one point. So a lot of mishaps happen when I do this podcast. Sometimes I like to leave them in just so you know that my struggle is, in fact, very real. I don't want you guys to forget about this, so I'm going to tell you again. Are you listening? A Sunday night Streamo show. I will be a guest. I'll be performing, in fact, with the guys from Emory. I'm really, really excited about it. And you should check it out anyway, because the previous guests they've had and the previous shows have been so awesome. It's like a late night variety show, but for people like us. You know, it's really, really cool. The link again, twitch.tv/EmoryMusic. And that is Sunday night at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. So make sure that you tune in. All right. I will leave you with a tune. Thank you so much for listening. I hope all is well. I hope you're staying safe. Here is The Road Beneath My Feet, a new one from Emory. Go pre-order that record. Promo code LSS, 10% off. Go do it. Here it is on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. See you next time. Thank you.
Stop trying.